Krishna. So welcome to our voyage or journey of self-discovery. We are on day 5. If you remember, these were the list of topics that we were to cover on the 7 days. And today we are on the 5th day, so we are going to discuss material nature and time. We will also remember from our discussion on the 1st day, it was mentioned that the Bhagavad Gita discusses 5 subjects: Jiva, Ishvara, Prakriti, Kal and Karma. So far we have discussed Ishwar, Jiva and Karma. Now today we will discuss Prakriti and Kal. Except for Karma, all these others are eternal. It is only Karma that can change. Prakriti, as we shall see, or nature, itself is eternal, but the forms of Prakriti keep changing. So therefore it is only Karma that is not eternal. Because number one, the moment the reaction is received, that karma is extinguished. Secondly, by performing spiritual activity, those karmas can be changed. So today we are going to talk about Prakriti, material nature, and Kala. Both these subjects are also very important. Science has some kind of understanding of these subjects, but not much. Only in a very limited way, science is conceptualizing the nature of this universe. When we talk of Prakriti, we have to mention Purush also. Prakriti is feminine, Purush is masculine. Purush means enjoyer, Prakriti means that which is enjoyed. The Supreme Lord is called Adi Purush. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Brahma, the Creator, prays that I offer my respects to Govinda, that Adi Purush, that original person. The word Purush not only means person, but in a deeper sense it means he who is the Lord and Master, the Creator, the Proprietor and the Enjoyer of everything. So in the word Purush, enjoyership is very significant. So what does Purush enjoy? The Purusha, who is the Supreme Lord, what does he enjoy? He enjoys his own energies. What is the difference between him and us? He is enjoying. We also try to enjoy. The difference is that we try to enjoy that which is not ours. We are trying to enjoy by exploiting the resources of nature, by exploiting others, by exploiting our body, which is not actually ours. Even the body is made up of something that belongs to God. So everything that we try to enjoy is not owned by us. But God enjoys everything that is owned by Him. There is nothing that is not owned by Him. This is the difference between the real Purusha and the false Purushas. So the Atma, the spirit soul, is also sometimes called Purusha. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, Purushaha prakriti sthohi bhungte prakriti jair guneir karanam gunasangosya sad asat yoni janmasu. When this so-called Purusha, not the real Purusha, the false imitation Purusha, the spirit soul, when he tries to enjoy, bhunkte prakriti, what does he try to enjoy? Prakriti. Bhunkte means to enjoy. So when he tries to enjoy this prakriti, sat asat yoni janmasu, then he has to take up all these higher and lower species of life. He gets trapped in the cycle of birth and death. So when the individual soul tries to enjoy in this world, when it tries to act as a Purusha by enjoying the prakriti that belongs to God, he is bound. He becomes trapped in the cycle of birth and death. Sometimes good species, high species, sometimes low species. But Purusha, the Lord, is ever transcendental, ever spiritual, never in touch with the lower material energy. We have seen day before yesterday that God has two energies, two prakritis, the inferior, lower material prakriti or energy called the aparashakti, and the higher spiritual energy called the parashakti. Both these shaktis are there in this world, in this universe, and that is how this creation, this material world is going on, by a combination of these two shaktis. And we also saw that ultimately it is the spiritual energy that sustains the material energy. This picture we saw yesterday when we were talking about the transmigration of the Atma. Why do these different forms have any meaning at all? How do they have the kind of shapes and forms that we see here? It's only because the Atma is there. So therefore it is spirit, yayetam dharyate jagat, that actually holds up the entire creation, that supports, that maintains the entire creation. So therefore there are two prakritis, the spiritual prakriti, that is the Atma, and there is a material prakriti, that is matter. Of course today, when we talk of prakriti in the five subject matters, we refer to material energy only. So in our discussions, when we use the word prakriti, we should understand it refers to this universe, to the material energy around us. The prakriti, of course, is not conscious. The prakriti needs the presence of the Atma or the spiritual energy to be conscious. That is why it is only when the chit shakti, the Atma, is present that the prakriti can have so many forms of motion, so many different shapes and sizes are created because of the presence of the Atma. So let us try to see this particular universe of ours, this prakriti, this universe which is made up of this material energy, the prakriti. Have you ever looked up at a night sky and wondered, what is this whole universe? How many of you have had this thought as you looked up at a night sky any time? How many of you have wondered, what is the mystery of this whole creation? Such a huge creation, what are these stars, what are these planets? It is truly such a bewildering sight. Such a humbling thought when we look up in the sky. Such an enormous, huge universe. We cannot even imagine. Scientists are only beginning to just understand an insignificant portion of this one universe. And they are discovering more and more amazing things day by day. So many different forms of structures are existing, which their instruments are detecting. And their wonder grows day by day. Newer and newer, most wonderful objects appear. Unfortunately, of course, it is not possible, as we have discussed by our scientific method, to understand really what this universe is all about. Even to understand this universe, material universe, what to speak of spiritual things and the spiritual world, it is not possible. It is so huge and so complex. The distances are so vast. The time scales are so large. And we are so tiny. It is impossible for us to even gauge the extent of this prakriti, the way this prakriti has been transformed into this universe. It is not possible. One who really studies this deeply and becomes exposed to the wonders of this universe cannot but marvel at the extraordinary beauty of God's creation. God is a perfect artist who has made this entire creation in not only such a beautiful way, but in such a bewildering way that the best and brightest of brains in humanity from time immemorial get bewildered in trying to understand this universe. Nobody can understand. So therefore, our conceptions, our theories of this prakriti of this universe are keeping on changing. On our little tiny planet called Earth, how much of this whole creation can we possibly understand? We have seen on day one that this process of pratyaksha pramana, anuman pramana, to understand knowledge, in this case the universe, is futile. We are never going to be able to perceive even this universe with our senses, although it is material. But even in the material realm, there are so many dimensions. So therefore, we need again Shabda Pramana. Even to understand this universe, this prakriti, we need to take help from the scriptures. The scriptures give us a very nice detailed understanding of what this prakriti is. The Shastra is explained that this universe is egg-shaped. Therefore, it is called Brahmanda. Brahma, anda. Anda means egg. So the shape of the universe is given. Modern science is not able to understand the size, the shape, the dimensions of the universe. Whereas our Shastras clearly explain that our universe is a closed universe. It is not an open universe, unlimitedly expanding. No. It is closed. It has boundaries. And that boundary is in the shape of an egg. And this egg-shaped universe, Brahmanda, has layers. It has seven layers. For those who want to know more, you can study scriptures like the Srimad Bhagavatam. And each layer, the inner layer, is of a certain dimension. The layer outside is 10 times that. The layer after that is 10 times that previous layer. And so on, 10 times it goes on. And the inner diameter is also given. And how the planets are organized within the space of this egg are also given. It is mentioned that there are 14 levels of planetary systems within our universe. Not 14 planets. 14 levels of planetary systems. Our planet is the Earth, which is part of a planetary system called the Bhuloka. And there are 6 planetary systems above us. Including ours, it is 7. So 7 higher planetary systems, 7 lower planetary systems. The higher planetary systems are Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. So Bhuloka is where we all stay, in a very small part of this Bhuloka. Bhuvarloka, there are certain other higher beings who stay in the realm of the sky, antariksha, space. Higher than that is Swarga, Swargaloka, where Indra and many of the demigods stay. Many times people confuse heaven with the spiritual world. Heaven is in this material world. The kingdom of God is beyond this material world. Especially other scriptures like Bible speak of our Father who art in heaven. So because of this, people confuse. They think heaven means kingdom of God. But actually no. Heaven is within the universe. One who goes to heaven, the heavenly planets, comes back here. It is a temporary abode. But the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, is entirely an eternal abode. One who goes there never comes back. Yad gatva na nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. And this is only a third higher level, where Indra and many others stay. And within this are the planetary systems like the sun, the moon, and many, many others, a little higher up. Then there is Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, where great rishis and munis reside. They perform tremendous tapasyas over there. And they take so much delight in going within themselves into this tapasya that they consider this the worldly pleasures of the earth and even the heaven to be totally insignificant. So much pleasure do they derive in their meditation, in their meditative practices, going within. People think in this world there is pleasure only in trying to enjoy the gross things of this world. But they do not realize how much pleasure is to be experienced within ourselves. So there are sages in Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka. Each of these planets is higher and higher than the previous one. And finally there is Satyaloka. The Satyaloka planetary system includes Brahmaloka, where Lord Brahma resides. Brahma the creator. He also is part of the universe. He resides in the topmost planet in this universe. So this is as far as the top seven planetary systems are concerned. And as far as the lower seven planetary systems, it is said, they are also named Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Rasatala, Mahatala, Patala. These seven planetary systems are the lower species. They are called Bilaswarga, the lower heavenly planets. There also tremendous facilities are available for enjoyment. Many of the demoniac species, they reside there. Even the Nagas and so many others reside there. Those who want to know more can read more in the Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then below these 14 levels of planetary systems are the Naraklokas, the hellish planets. Yesterday, we saw some glimpse of that. These hellish planets are located even further down. And there are many, many varieties. In each variety of hell, punishments are given for different kinds of sins. And they are given certain special subtle bodies in which they are supposed to suffer. And there are agents of Yamaraj who actually inflict this punishment upon them. And then they are prepared for the next birth. So in this way, the whole universe is constituted. But mind you, this is just one universe. Imagine that there is a bag full of seeds. Our universe is like one grain or one seed here. There are as many universes in the material creation, in the realm of Prakriti, as there are perhaps grains or seeds here in this sack. Actually, the number of universes is far more, actually, than the number of grains here. So you can imagine how great is the material creation of the Lord. We think of ourselves as being the all-in-all in this creation. We think man is everything in the universe. We saw yesterday that the Shastras say that man is not alone. Every planet has life. And that also is just our one universe, which is considered to be a rather ordinary, medium-sized universe. There are other universes which are far bigger, far larger, more complicated than ours. And in this way, there are billions and trillions, countless universes all over the creation. So therefore, when one acquires this understanding, one really acquires some humility. One understands thoroughly how insignificant we are. In our daily struggles and ambitions, in our quarrels, our egos, we should pause and reflect. What are we really fighting for? It is so insignificant. Just reflect on the sheer enormity, the vastness of this entire universe, this material world, consisting of billions and trillions of universes. And what are we? We are like one grain of sand. Our universe is like one grain in this sack. Within this grain, as far as we are concerned, this one grain of the universe is so huge, we cannot with our telescopes and instruments even understand the borders of it. And within this universe, we are in one tiny corner on one tiny planet called Earth. And in this Earth, we are one tiny person. We are here in one corner in Belgaum. And we have our little problems, our little affairs in life, our happiness, our distress. How insignificant. Nowadays, people are struggling to find some position in. Somebody wants to be this minister, somebody wants to be that minister. How totally insignificant. What kind of childish games? From a spiritual point of view, when you see, this is no better than children playing and fighting with each other. This is mine, this is yours. All dream games are being played. When we were children, we played one game called Monopoly. Did you also play? There were false notes. And then we bought and sold big houses and many things. And we said, yes, now I've got 10 lakh rupees and I will buy this. And then we get great happiness in that. And when we lost the money, we were very sad. In the same way, this whole world here outside, the same childish play is going on in the name of politics, in the name of industries, in the name of science, in the name of technology, in the name of economic advancement. In the name of cinema, in the name of sports. This is all simply childish play. When the human being forgets his place in this entire material creation, he forgets that materially speaking he has no place practically, but spiritually speaking he has a very important place. Because his human life is practically the only life, the most ideal life in which he can understand God. So therefore, this is the important point to consider. Leaving aside all our anxieties, all our problems, our happiness and distress, pleasures and pains in life, we should consider the vastness of God's creation and imagine how wonderful God really is. Within our one universe, there is the Creator, Brahma, who has four heads, and he creates everything that is there within the creation, within this universe. He creates the planets, he creates the bodies for the different jivas or the atmas, he assigns different kinds of bodies and planets to these different souls, he creates the sound, the saptasvara here, saregama padhani, he creates the Vedas. He creates everything there is to be created. He creates all the sciences. Such is Brahma's intelligence, beyond our imagination. And still, please remember, Brahma is a jiva. He is a soul, spirit soul like you and me. Maybe one time he also lived in Belgaum. We don't know. But he performed such tremendous punya for so many lifetimes, that he got this post of Brahma, the most exalted, number one post in the whole universe. So he performs on behalf of Lord Krishna the task of creation, the secondary creator. And of course, Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, they are also there. Lord Vishnu maintains this entire creation. Lord Shiva is the destroyer. That's the function that he performs. Vishnu has the most difficult task of sustaining. And that is where Lord Krishna himself has to come to sustain. To destroy something is the easiest. To create something is difficult, but not so difficult. But the most difficult thing is to sustain something. It is very easy to get married. Easier to get divorced, But very difficult to stay married and be happy whole life. Similarly, very easy to start a business, very easy to close down a business, but very difficult to maintain the business and continue to make profits. In the same way, for this material creation, one may destroy, one may create. So these tasks have been delegated by Lord Krishna to creation to Brahma and destruction to Lord Shiva. But he thinks, sustenance, such a difficult task, so I only have to do it. So then he comes as Vishnu, his office form, and he maintains this particular universe. In this way we see that in this one universe there is Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva and many, many demigods like this. And there are innumerable such universes, multi-crore universes, countless universes, and in each universe there is a Brahma, there is a Shiva, there is a Vishnu, there is an Indra, Surya, Varuna, Vayu, etc. So can you imagine how many Shivas, how many Brahmas are there in the whole material creation? This is just one universe. And all these devis and devatas whom you cannot even count, they are here. And we think that they are supreme because we do not know that there are millions and billions like them. In each universe, there are 33 crore demigods. Sometimes people worship this one devi or one devata, but there are so many 33 crores others. How can you go on worshipping? So better to worship Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is the supreme owner of all these material universes. There is a small story I would like to tell you, which was narrated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Lord Krishna was residing in Dwarka as the king, Dwarkadhish, our Brahma, that is from this universe, he decided to come to Dwarka to pay his respects to Lord Krishna. He came to the gates of the palace and he told the watchmen, the guards, that please tell the Lord that Brahma has come. So very faithfully the gatekeeper went inside and informed Lord Krishna, "My dear Lord, there is one visitor at the door. He says his name is Brahma." This gatekeeper did not know that Brahma is such a great man, creator of the universe. He has come. So Krishna told the gatekeeper, "Please ask him which Brahma has come." So the gatekeeper went back and faithfully asked, "The Lord is asking which Brahma has come." So Brahma was surprised. What is the meaning of this question? How many Brahmas are there? Just like suppose somebody comes to your house and your servant tells you inside that Prime Minister has come. So will you ask which Prime Minister has come? There is only one Prime Minister. So therefore Brahma was surprised. Why is Lord Krishna asking this question? Which Brahma has come? So he thought, anyway, there must be a purpose, he thought. So he replied, "Please tell Lord Krishna that the Brahma with four heads has come. Because our Brahma has four heads. Chaturmukhi Brahma. Because it represents the four directions." Krishna and wanted to offer his respects, his pranam, by bowing his head, and at that time he saw a most astonishing sight in that room. What did he see? He saw another Brahma who had eight heads. Then he saw another Brahma who had 16 heads. He saw another Brahma who had 1,000 heads. He saw yet another Brahma who had 10,000 heads. Another Brahma who had 10 lakh heads. And in this way there were innumerable Brahmas that were there. Countless Brahmas were flooded in that one room. And each of them was offering respects by bowing down the head to Lord Krishna. And each of them was saying, my dear Lord, you have called us here. What order do you have for us? And Lord Krishna said, my dear Brahma, I just called you to ask how is everything going on in your universe. And the Brahma said, each of them is replying, my dear Lord, by your mercy, everything is fine in my universe. And then this Brahma realized that these other Brahmas did not see his presence there in the room. And wonder of it all, they did not realize the presence of any other Brahma in the room. Every Brahma who had come to that room, except our Brahma, Chaturmukhi Brahma, thought that he was the only Brahma in the room there. He didn't know that any other Brahma was present. And when he was speaking, he was the only one speaking. That's what he thought. But only our Brahma was specially given this vision by Lord Krishna. And he could see this sight and he was dumbfounded, speechless. He did not know what to say, what to do. And at this time, after the Brahmas had departed and Lord Krishna had sent them away, then Lord Krishna explained that, my dear Brahma, you are not the only Brahma. There are millions and trillions of other universes, and in each of these universes, there are so many Brahmas. Many of these universes are very, very big. And depending on the size and the number of directions in that universe, the Brahma has that many heads. So Brahma has some places 8 heads, 16 heads, 1,000, 10,000, 10 lakh, 1 million heads. We may wonder how this is possible because we have so much problem managing one head. And when one head aches, we have so much problem. So we may wonder how Brahmaji manages 4 heads or the others manage thousands of heads. But after all, they are Brahma. They are not ordinary earthly beings like us. So in this way we can understand how enormous the material creation of the Lord is. So let us now try to see what lies beyond this entire material universe, this material creation. The whole material world comprising these countless universes. Is that all there is in God's creation? No. There is something much more. On the contrary, if you think that all these universes put together must be very, very large, you are certainly right. But in comparison to the kingdom of God or the spiritual world, it is very small. So in the Vedic scriptures, the kingdom of God has been described. It is unlimited. It cannot be captured on this one little screen, on this one page. Imagine it extending unlimitedly like this. In the center on the top, you see the chief planet in the spiritual world, which is called Krishna Loka or Goloka Vrindavan, where Lord Krishna, the Adi Purusha, resides. And he performs his various leelas, his various pastimes with his various devotees, unlimited devotees. That is shaped like a lotus. And around it are countless spiritual planets called Vishnu Lokas or Vaikuntha Lokas. This is the Vaikuntha world, please remember. And in each of these Vaikuntha Lokas, Lord Krishna has expanded himself into a certain four-armed form, which this is called the Narayana form, and he is given by different names. He is called by different names. Like for example, Sankarshana, Vishnumurti, Trivikram, Krishna, Madhava, Damodara, Narayana, Vishnu, Keshava, like that. Innumerable such names are there. And these are ever expanding, spread all over, unlimited. And within this unlimited expanse of the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha world, please see at the bottom, there is one dark circle which shows the Lord residing within. Do you see that? That is the entirety of the whole material universe, of the whole material creation, consisting of all the universes put together. So can you imagine now what is the size of the spiritual creation? No, you cannot imagine actually. We cannot. It is beyond our limited brain power to imagine. In this way, the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna has expanded himself into his kingdom. This is the kingdom that is our ultimate destination. Where Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes, parastasmatu bhavonyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu na vinashyati. He says that, my dear Arjuna, there is an abode beyond this material creation. Paraha tasmat bhava anyaha, there is another nature. And that is paraha, that is superior, that is supreme. And it is higher than that which is manifested and unmanifested. Yahasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu na vinashyati. When this material creation is completely destroyed, because all material things ultimately will be destroyed, but that creation does not get destroyed. Just like the body gets destroyed, but the soul is eternal, doesn't get destroyed. In the same way, the material universes, they get created, they are maintained for a while, then they are destroyed. Again they are created, they are maintained, again they are destroyed. And this cycle is going on eternally. But in the spiritual world, there is no such cycle. It is eternally existing, ever fresh, full of happiness, full of knowledge. Satchit Ananda world, that is where we are meant to go. That is our real home. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, he coined the most wonderful phrase that we should go home, back to Godhead. Because the Godhead of the spiritual world is our home. In fact, the official magazine of our movement of ISKCON is called Back to Godhead. Because that is our goal. For ourselves to go and to help others to go back to Godhead, which is our real home. From this particular spiritual world, the Lord expands into that form that you see there who is lying within that black circle. And he is called Mahavishnu. Now we have come within that black circle. We have come within the material creation now. So that Supreme Lord Krishna, through a series of expansions like Balaram and many others, he steps into this material creation and he is known as Mahavishnu. And he lies there in Yoga Nidra. And from the pores of his skin, universes emanate. From one pore, there is one universe coming. So you can imagine how gigantic must be Mahavishnu's body. This one universe, our scientists are not able to estimate the length and breadth of it. So huge is it. And this one universe is the size of Mahavishnu's pore in the skin. And there are unlimited such universes which are coming out of the pores of his skin as he breathes out. When he breathes out, these unlimited universes, they move outwards. And as they go outwards from him, they form into egg shapes like bubbles and they become bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and they move outwards. This is all in the process of Mahavishnu's outward breathing. And as they start, they are expanding, within each bubble, anda, within each Brahmanda, within each universe, that Mahavishnu enters. You can see within each bubble now. You can see some of these bubbles. We have the second Vishnu, another Vishnu. This Vishnu is called Mahavishnu, who is the origin of all the universes. and these bubbles are going out, and this Mahavishnu expands himself, enters into each and every universe and occupies this. And he occupies the inside of every universe, and at that time he is called Garbho Udakashayi Vishnu. Garbha Udaka Shayi Vishnu. Inside every universe there is a shell, an empty shell. When the Lord comes in as Garbho Udakashayi Vishnu, from his divine perspiration he fills half the universe. His perspiration is not like ours. It is divine. And then he lies down in it on Anantashesh. Lakshmi Devi, his eternal consort, is there ever ready for his service. And he reclines in Yoga Nidra. And such Garbho Udakashayi Vishnus are present in every universe. Countless universes, therefore countless Garbho Udakashayi Vishnus, but only one Mahavishnu. That one Mahavishnu has become countless Garbho Udakashayi Vishnus. And as he lies on that ocean, the Garbho Udaka, which is at the bottom half of the universe, in Yoga Nidra, he is reflecting. Then from the navel comes a lotus flower. And in that lotus flower is born our creator Brahma. For us it is a four-headed Brahma. And this Garbho Udakashayi Vishnu is therefore known as Padmanabha. Another name of Lord Vishnu is Padmanabha, because from his nabha or his navel comes a padma or a lotus flower. And it is in this lotus flower that ultimately Brahma is there. So please note that in the earlier part, when we spoke of Mahavishnu, we will go back to that slide a little bit, now that we have understood Brahma. So he has entered as Garbho Udakashayi Vishnu, and then from his navel comes Brahma. Now, the further creation takes place inside every... We will discuss briefly now. And after the time for the destruction of the universe comes, all the universes are destroyed from within. And that is the time when Mahavishnu's outward breathing or his exhalation is over. Then his inward breathing starts. When the inward breathing starts, then all the universes are pulled back into him. And all the Garbho Udakashayi Vishnus again merge into him. And all the universes also rest within him. All the material creation rests within him. And then again when he breathes, the whole cycle starts again. So the lifetime of the entire material creation, the universe, is just one breath of Mahavishnu. This is God. So Prabhupada said, not just some make-believe God who claims himself avatar, and when he has a toothache, he runs to the dentist. Not this kind of God. If he has to be God, he must be like this. This is really God. But because they don't understand what really God is, they don't understand the vastness of this creation and how wonderful the way in which the Lord creates this entire cosmos. Therefore, they foolishly speak in this way, that I am an avatar. Just because he can do a little bit of some siddhis or some extraordinary miracles, like producing some gold or producing some vibhuti, and they proclaim themselves as God, or others proclaim them to be God, and they do not protest, they don't call me God. But here we see what it really means to be God. So therefore, all these universes come out of Vishnu, Mahavishnu, as he breathes out, and they go back into him as he breathes in again. And then the whole cycle starts again. Now let us go within the universe. Now within the universe, Brahma is born. And as Brahma is born, then naturally he becomes this four-headed Brahma. He is there within each and every universe. We saw in on the second day, when we were talking about who is God, how the Brahma of the universe one time was bewildered by who Krishna is. He could not believe that a 7-year-old boy can be Krishna, that can be God. He tested him, and then he learnt a bitter lesson. He repented for it and came down and begged forgiveness. So although Brahma is so powerful in this universe, but his mystic powers, his mystic potency were like child's play in front of the unlimited mystic potency of Lord Krishna. Although he appeared to be just a small, innocent, helpless little boy who was playing with his friends and his cows as if he were just another village boy. Therefore, this is called Leela, or pastimes of the Lord. They are not ordinary activities. They appear to be ordinary, but actually they are not. Therefore, even great personalities like Brahma get bewildered. So what to speak of ordinary people like us? Brahma is certainly not an ordinary person. He has extraordinary qualities, intelligence, ability, strength, mystic power, piety. That is why he has become Brahma. And even he, the topmost being in the universe, is thoroughly bewildered when it comes to understanding the Supreme Lord. So we can imagine that it is not surprising that people of this world cannot understand Lord Krishna. There are so many misconceptions about him. Not surprising at all. So anyway, this Brahma, he is born on the lotus flower. When he is born, he sees darkness all around him. He cannot figure out where he is, what he is, what is the place that he is born on. And he just sees there is some lotus flower here. And then he goes into the stalk of the lotus. And then as he goes up and down trying to figure out where he is and who he is, he gets bewildered. He cannot understand. So he comes back onto the top of the lotus. He sits in meditation trying to understand in his puzzlement. And then he hears the sounds tapa, 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 which is being spoken by the Supreme Lord. Tapa means that he is being asked to do tapasya. Then Brahma understands, being very intelligent. He places himself in a posture for meditation and austerity. And for long, long years he performs meditation. And finally the Lord reveals the divine knowledge into his heart. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. The Bhagavata starts with the very first shloka itself, which says that from him, Lord Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, was Brahma's heart impregnated with the true knowledge. That is how Brahma got the knowledge of how to create this universe. When Brahmaji just saw darkness all around him within the shell of the universe, he could not see Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, of course. And he was puzzled. What is this prakriti? What is this nature? What am I supposed to do? He had some idea that he has to do the creation. But how to do the creation, he had no idea. Then when he sat in meditation, the Lord revealed everything from within. This is what is being shown here. And finally, the Lord also appeared to him from outside. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavata Purana. Brahmaji was very surprised to see the form of the Lord, the darshan of the Lord he had. And the Lord, having pity on him, took his hand and shook his hand. So, hello, how do you do, Mr. Brahma? And Brahma was indeed very, very much surprised. And the Lord gave some very nice instructions to Brahma. In this way, Brahma became equipped to do all the acts of creation that were necessary. So all the 14 levels of planetary systems, all the different species of life, all have been created by Brahma with the intelligence and knowledge given to him by the Supreme Lord. So actually speaking, Brahma is not a creator. He is a secondary creator. More accurately, he is like a gardener. What does a gardener do? A gardener takes the seeds, he plants them in the soil, and then he waters them and takes care of them and sees that they grow nicely. Please note that none of these items have originally been made by the gardener. The seeds, the soil, the sunlight, the air and the oxygen, the water, everything is there available in nature. The gardener has not made any of these substances. What does he do? He only manipulates them. He only places them in certain order. He performs certain procedures upon them. And then, lo and behold, a plant grows. The gardener only knows that he should place the seed in the water and in the soil and then keep on watering it and protect it. But how actually, what is that most fantastic thing that is going on inside the seed? That when some water is poured, what is happening inside the seed? What is the process by which that one little seed is becoming a huge tree, a banyan tree? That the gardener doesn't understand. He knows that if he does this, this will be the result. But exactly how it is happening, what is the underlying knowledge behind it, that siddhi, that potency in that seed, that he doesn't understand. Similarly, Brahma is very familiar with this creation, like an engineer is with the construction site, because he has designed it, so he knows what is where. Where is the watchman's tower, where is the flats, where is this, where is that. Similarly, Brahmaji knows, like a walnut in the palm of his hand, he knows exactly how this creation is, but he still doesn't know how it happens. He takes the elements, material elements. We have seen that there are so many elements there. The eight gross elements and subtle elements are there. He takes all the elements of nature that have been provided by Prakriti. The Lord has provided these elements. So, Brahmaji manipulates these elements with the knowledge and intelligence given by the Lord. And then all these 14 levels of planetary systems are created. Similarly, all the 84 lakh species are procreated through him and his descendants. And they are given appropriate places to stay, their residence. And in this way the whole universe is populated. So we can imagine that Brahma's task by all means is not at all easy. Such a complicated task. And still, Brahmaji cannot understand. So imagine the supreme intelligence of Lord Krishna. He has done this not one time, but in countless universes, the same story is being repeated. So this is the internal creation. Once Brahma, you can see here, that Brahma's creation is taking place in that line. All his progeny are also getting created. And in this way, the universe becomes populated. So this is now how Garbhodakshaya Vishnu creates Brahmaji from the lotus that is born from his navel. Within every universe, there is a third Vishnu. And he is called Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. Kshira Udaka Shai. Kshira means milk. So that is a milk ocean. That is called Shweta Dweepa. He is the Vishnu who is part of the Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. So when we normally put the three together as Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, that Vishnu is this Vishnu here, the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, who resides on Anantashesh, is being served by Lakshmi Devi. And when the devis and devatas of this material universe are in trouble, they go to the shore of this Shweta Dweepa. They offer the Purusha Sukta prayers, as they are doing now. And the Lord is not actually visible to them. Just for explaining, they have shown in this diagram that he is appearing before them. But actually, they cannot even see this Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. Even the demigods cannot see. Even Brahma cannot see. Finally, Brahma has to sit in meditation on the shore of this ocean. And then the Lord, by with him, heart-to-heart talk, he reveals from inside Brahma, yes, please pacify the demigods. I will advent. I will take avatar in this world. Do not worry. And then Brahma relays the message of the Lord that he has received from within to all the other demigods. The demigods become very happy. Okay, now all these rakshasas and asuras who are here in the universe will be killed because the Lord has promised that he will descend. He will take avatar and come. So this Kshirudakshai Vishnu is the one who sustains this universe. So now we have three levels of Vishnus. Mahavishnu, from whom all the universes emanate. Then there is Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, who is in every universe. From Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, there is a lotus, there is Brahma. And that Garbhodakashaya Vishnu further expands to form Kshirodakashaya Vishnu. But that's not all. This Kshirodakashaya Vishnu, he is the via medium for all the avatars from the spiritual world to descend into this world. As we have seen on day 2, Ete Chansakalha Punsah Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. That Lord Krishna, who is seated above there in Goloka Vrindavan, in Krishna Loka, in the spiritual world, in the Vaikuntha Jagat, he is the origin of all the Vishnu forms and all the expansions and avatars who descend into this world. But they descend through the via medium of this Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, because after all, this Vishnu is also not different from Krishna. So you can see at the bottom here, there is Lord Krishna who appeared in the jail of Kansa to Devaki and Vasudev. So therefore, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is the one who always pacifies the people of the universe. Don't worry, I will advent. It is that Kshirodakshaya Vishnu who is present in the heart of all living beings as Paramatma. This is exactly how he looks. He is in your heart also, in my heart, in everybody's heart. This is not fiction. This is fact. It is reality. He is there. He looks exactly like this. Not only is he there in our heart, he is in the heart of every living being. Sarvasya chaham hridisannivishtah mattah smriti jnanam apohanam cha. In the 15th chapter of the Gita, Lord Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, I am situated in the heart of all living beings, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. Elsewhere also Lord Krishna says, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriddeshi arjuna tishtati brahmayana sarvabhutanam yantrarudhani mayaya. He explains, my dear Arjuna, I am seated in the heart of all living entities and I am directing their wanderings. In this way, the Paramatma is present not only in everyone's heart, but he is present also in every atom. Brahmaji explains that not only is he present there in his Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, but he is also present in every atom in this material creation. And it is he who is keeping the atom together. Although the atom, the Anu, is very small, but Lord Krishna is unlimitedly powerful. Not only can he become as huge as Mahavishnu, unlimitedly huge beyond our imagination, bigger than the biggest, but he can also become smaller than the smallest. He can also enter into the Anu, the atom, and sustain the atom. Inasmuch as Mahavishnu sustains the entire material creation, inasmuch as Garbhodakashaya Vishnu and Kshirodakashaya Vishnu sustain each individual universe, the Lord also sustains every atom. The natural laws are not going on by themselves. The Lord is present there everywhere. And finally, when this whole creation is over, then the Lord, as Mahavishnu, absorbs everything within himself. The creation is wound up. And that is how the material world is destroyed. Lord Shiva performs his function. There are many details described in the scriptures. It is not Lord Shiva alone. Many other personalities are involved. And after this is done, within each universe, all the planets, all the living beings merge into Garbhodakashaya Vishnu. And all the universes in the Garbhodakashaya Vishnu then merge into Mahavishnu. And that is the time when Mahavishnu finishes his internal breathing. his intake of breath, again when he breathes out, the whole story is repeated. So this is the process that goes on. Creation, sustenance, destruction. Creation, sustenance, destruction. This is how the Prakriti is constantly changing its forms. And exactly how the Prakriti is changing and yet it is eternal, this we will see shortly when you have finished some refreshments. So we will take a break for 5 minutes now. Please take your refreshments on the other side of the temple and come back in 5 minutes and we will continue further discussions on Prakriti, on the three modes of material nature, the gunas, and on the Kala Shakti, the time energy of the Lord. Hare Krishna.